Hey everyone, and welcome to the first ever Google Workspace Recap, a weekly show discussing all the changes happening in Google Workspace. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. A little bit about us, 2020 was a record-breaking year, and mostly they were not good records to break. But some good things did come about in 2020, and one of those being the great remote work experiment, and companies realizing that for a huge percentage of their workers, where they work from is no longer part of the equation. Google and their competitors realized this and got to work pushing out really what seems like every update that they had in the works, and several, or more than several, that they didn't. This podcast is our answer to the flood of updates. It's a weekly show to help all you wonderful Google Workspace admins stay on top of what's new in Google Workspace, mixed up with some analysis and some stories from the field. I invite you to come along for the ride as we witness and participate in the greatest shift to work as we have known it in the last 100 years. I think you'll really love what we're working on, so send us your questions through the contact form on our website, workspacerecap.com, and we will do our best to answer them either on the podcast or in a blog post. And now, to our show. Say hi, Steve.
Hey, Jesse. It's great to be here.
How's it going?
Good. First kind of podcast we're doing here. I know I did my first one with you a little while back on the Tab Geeks podcast, which was great. So kind of just getting my feet wet here and getting more used to doing these live, recorded events, podcasts.
Recorded and live sometimes. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get you to speak in person at some point. It was great having you on Supporting IT Support, which is the Tab Geeks podcast. And I know that a lot of people are really interested in your story. So anybody who wants to hear more about Steve can go listen to that. But enough about that side of things. I'm sure you all want to hear about the unbelievable amount of things that Google pushed out this year. This is going to recap some of those. Steve, why don't you run us through our topics?
Sure. There was an amazing number of updates coming out on Google Workspace. I think, they've been year on year increasing the number of updates they're coming out with ongoing. And this year we saw, at least from the Google Workspace updates blog post perspective, we saw over 240 blog posts regarding updates that Google had this year. So pretty phenomenal number of updates. It's pretty much, we're getting close to pretty much one a day here. I think, 2021 might see pretty close to that, one post a day on average. So part of those updates that we're going to talk about this on this episode are going to be the big one in terms of Google Workspace as a brand, a change, as a SKU change, and how that impacted organizations, which includes a new SKU, which is the Google Frontline SKU, which is going to be a replacement for the Google the G Suite Lite SKU, which a lot of people probably haven't heard of, but that's going to be coming out in Q1 this year. And then we have the new interface for Google Vault, which is a very welcome change from the old Postini interface. Also, we're going to talk about secure LDAP and how you can log into macOS devices with Google credentials. And then we also have the integrations with macOS, but also the enhanced security updates and features for Windows 10 devices was released as well. Google Groups got some major changes to the interface as well as features and functionality this year. A lot of updates came around Google Groups. Surprisingly, I was going through all the updates and didn't realize how many updates there were. Substantial number of updates to that. Folder sharing in shared drives is another big topic. I know a lot of people have been asking that for many years, probably since shared drives, or team drives as it was called when it first came out, was announced. I definitely have my personal perspective and view on shared folders, but we'll get into that when we talk about it. And the new Gmail experience on both your mobile device as well as the web. So that, that experience in terms of integrating chat and Meet all together into one kind of one seamless interface, or as Jesse will probably explain, not so seamless experience. We'll get into that in detail. And then some other updates around using your phones as security keys as part of the Advanced Protection Program, as well as, use on iOS and functionality for NFC and USB security keys natively supported on iOS devices. So that were some really nice updates around security, which I'm a big proponent of and talk a lot about you know, securing your Google accounts with security keys. And we actually had some other announcements, not related, not specific to Google, but for the, how the DNC was actually using security keys to secure their environment. And they actually deployed onto Google Workspace this year. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So that kind of sums up what we're going to talk about in the updates for this episode. So kind of a recap of what happened in 2020. And then, you know, looking forward on our future episodes, we'll probably be looking at, you know, the updates that came out that week, going into each of those releases a little bit more in depth. And then, you know, maybe looking back on some of the older ones as well. So that's kind of the rough format we're going to have for each of these upcoming episodes and what we're going to be covering today.
I almost have whiplash from the amount of things that were released this year. And honestly, if you're listening to this and you're going, wow, I totally didn't even catch half of those, don't worry about it. Neither did we. We had to go back and do some homework. It's really not been easy to keep up. So no. We're here to help. Yeah, to say that 2020 was a busy year for a lot of businesses alone is an understatement. And Google was no different. So in an attempt to keep up with this and answer all of our demands, they kept rolling out all of these updates. And as Steve was saying, is, you know, yeah, this is going to be kind of a monster episode. We're going to move fast through these updates and kind of keep it high level. Whereas in future episodes, we're going to break it down a little bit more, do a little bit more analysis, a few more stories, things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of some of the things that you can come to expect from this podcast as the year goes on. And hopefully Google will keep us nice and busy this year.
Yeah, I think the other thing too, you know, you're talking about all the number of updates and how do we stay updated and abreast of all those changes. We'll also find, we'll also provide you guys with some ways to find out where, you know, where these updates are coming. So we'll include that in some blog posts as well as, you know, some resources that you guys can look at on the website. So where, you know, where to find all the latest Google Workspace updates, where to get access to all the beta programs and alpha programs and all those things. So that's kind of what, you know, our intention here is to kind of make sure that you as a, you know, you as a Google Workspace admin are able to find and be aware of all these updates that are coming out, that have come out, and that will be coming out as well. So there's also
yeah,
really good resource where they actually kind of publicly disclose, you know, upcoming releases that are sometimes in the roadmap, which is, you know, as we know, the roadmap's under NDA, but sometimes they disclose these in the upcoming features and releases. And so that's a really good way to get a sneak peek at what's coming for Google Workspace.
They actually stole our name. They started doing a weekly update and they called it Workspace Recap. But I'd like it to be on record. We had it first.
Yeah.
Okay? Actually, I registered the domain name before they did or before they announced it.
I actually, it's funny. I think I'm going to mention it to you, but I was speaking to a friend that works at Google and I said, hey, we're doing Workspace Recap. We're coming up with a podcast. And he said, hey, I'm going to share it with some people internally at Google. And 3 days later, they released the very first Workspace Recap blog post. So
unbelievable.
They must have heard about it from us. I'm sure that's
unbelievable.
What yeah.
All right. Well, one thing that I did not predict this year to jump us into one of our big topics here is the big reveal, the new name, because Google yeah. loves changing names of products. And specifically this one.
Yeah. And it was a huge reveal to, I think, almost all of Google employees as well and Google partners. And I don't think hardly anyone was aware of this coming.
They really had no idea.
No. And, you know, and again, in kind of typical Google fashion, when they announce it and then you get into the details, you realize that they hadn't really thought about it too much in terms of the specifics around what this is going to, how this is going to impact your business. You know, so things like archive user licensing, you know, not really available on all the new SKUs, and they were pushing you to move to Workspace, but they didn't have an archive user license available for the new Workspace SKUs. So, you know, yeah.
Personally, I almost had a heart attack when I realized that there was a 300 user limit in order to, or rather before they bump you up to an enterprise SKU, which was twice what we were paying. I was freaking out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, that's, I think, although it is, I don't necessarily agree with it myself in terms of those limits. it is the, I think what we've seen is that there's a lot of alignment now with what we're seeing on the Microsoft side. So that magical 300 number, guess what? It's the same number that Microsoft has in terms of limiting you on their SKUs, in terms of, you know, going up into the having to go into the E licenses. So it's kind of aligning with what Microsoft has. And from what, you know, you kind of see from executives at Google now, they're coming from, guess where? Microsoft.
Yeah, Javier Soltero is definitely shaking things up. He was the man behind the magic that is now the beast that is Office 365, I think. And Google scooped him up and he's reshaping and shaking things up over at Google. And I mean, you know, look, when it comes to licensing, nobody knows it better than Microsoft. So well, you figure they know one or two things right.
I don't think they know anything about their own licensing. I think that the old adage is it's not even Microsoft knows how to manage Microsoft licensing, right?
Well, I sure as hell don't.
No. Yeah. I mean, I remember having to deal with Microsoft licensing at the companies I used to work at. And I spent, no joke, I spent over a year negotiating my Microsoft Enterprise license and the SKUs and how we were going to do it. That's how long it took just to navigate the number of options we had. It was crazy.
I believe it. And I don't think that Workspace is going to end up in that area, but I do think it is a welcome change now that I've dug into the options that are available in Enterprise, because look, I manage a 500 person organization. And once I finally dug into and talked to some people who were able to get some real answers to find out, okay, it's not that you're going to be dumped into this higher SKU. Yes, the prices are going up, but no, they're not going up that much. And Google will work with you on doing this. Google, your resellers, et cetera, partners, It actually makes a lot more sense. And honestly, at the end of the day, at this moment, I ended up saving money because I was able to get everybody on the same level of SKU, get everybody on Enterprise, and then I could mix and match accordingly to say, okay, my executives should be on the highest tier because they need the best security and the top features and the ability to host larger meetings, et cetera. Whereas my people out in the field really only need their, you know, basic frontline license, which is very, very affordable as far as a Google account goes.
Yeah. And that, I think, you know, one of the features with Workspace now, you know, the way that they're doing the business enterprise groupings is they are now saying it's going to be easier to mix and match these SKUs, right? So before, it took a lot of work to get, you know, PDL, which is what Google calls, you know, partial domain licensing. That's how you would get, you know, a basic SKU with an enterprise SKU. And now they're making it a little bit more seamless where if you're on business, you can mix and match between business, starter, standard, plus, and then if you're an enterprise, you know, you can have enterprise standard, enterprise plus, and the new frontline SKU. And what we were also talking about is, you know, the Google, the Lite SKU. And for those of you who don't know about Google Lite or, you know, G Suite Lite, it is is essentially G Suite Basic, but with 15 gig of storage instead of 30. And that is
it's really also the half the price.
And half the price. Yes. So $3 per user.
And that's huge considering that, you know, it was five and then became six for just a business license. It was, you know, or was it
the basic?
Basic that was $5. Basics was $5. Mm-hmm. You know, it to be able to have a SKU out there for people that honestly don't use it very often. They use a little bit of email. Mm-hmm. They use a little bit of storage.
Right.
Certainly going to use chat, but they're mostly in front of people dealing with people or working in another major CRM or something along those lines. Sure. This is a huge cost saver for us.
Yeah. All the, you know, they're just getting the occasional HR update, you know, the company all hands meetings, the calendar that they need to attend a meeting. And that's kind of what their kind of sole usage of the Google Workspace environment is. And that's the perfect use of what these, you know, Lite and now frontline SKUs are going to be for, is for those types of workers. And, you know, and also of course, you know, securing access to mobile devices. They're logging in from mobile devices. It'll kind of incorporate that as well. Yeah, that's definitely a very welcome change around Workspace and making it easier for companies to mix and match those SKUs. So that'll be a big improvement from that.
Yeah, and I love the way that Google is now sort of turning Google Workspace into, what is it, protocol called it? I forget, it was a reference to Transformers, but Ultron style. Not Ultron, I'm blanking now, forgive me. But to bring everything into one platform, to be your one workspace, if you'll pardon the pun, to get everything done. And the early feedback that I've been seeing from that is just awesome, because now you are able to create this setup, this workflow, where you can have your email in one place, but then you can jump into a room and have the documents in there, the chats in there, your tasks in there. And if they continue building this out, I may no longer need Asana, for example, and I may no longer need some of the other tools that we use as Google continues to build this out as the one-stop shop for everything you need to do business on the communication and collaboration side.
So I think, that's a really good summary of, the workspace changes and what's coming out. I think, that improve or that changed email interface, we'll jump into some of the details on that. I think we've got that coming up here pretty soon in our agenda. But I think next we have,
agenda item number 47.
Yes, exactly. Well, 47 on the list of 244. That's kind of the number of updates we had to go through for today.
I don't think we have time for that long of an episode.
No. the next one we wanted to cover, and if you wanted to cover it, talk about anything else on Workspace, but is the
new
Google Vault interface. So that has been a long, long time coming. So for and pretty much everyone that's been on G Suite and Google Apps for Work and whatever else you want to, Google's called it over the years. Vault has been, Vault was based off of Postini. And now I never used it personally myself. Postini, the service, but Google acquired Postini and integrated that features and functionality into their e-discovery tool, which was, called Vault. And that's, Vault's been part of Google Workspace for, almost since the beginning, not exactly the beginning, but for quite some time now. And the interface was definitely antiquated, pretty old. It almost looked like a Microsoft tool or a Cisco tool type of thing. That was like the oldest part of G Suite was Vault.
So, legacy, please.
Yeah. Oh, huge. Yeah. Huge legacy. So a lot of improvements, completely redesigned to look like the admin console that we've been seeing change also, this year. Each of the components of the admin console have been changing gradually over this year. But Vault, Vault was never touched up until now. So there's a big, big change for that. So if you head over to vault.google.com, you will be able to see
which
that
is what it is now called.
Yeah. And I think it defaults to that. So the classic interface the classic interface might.
I think
still
they
be
give
around.
You a link to push it over. I don't know if they've been forcing it over yet.
Okay,
or maybe it's a link to go the other direction. Maybe it forwards and says, "If you want the old interface, click here."
It is, So the classic interface is definitely still available, it was when the post came out.
Vault.google.com goes direct. I just checked it, but ediscovery.google.com still goes to the old interface.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll probably give a little context around when these updates came as well. So that new interface for Vault was announced December 3rd of this year. So pretty recent when they announced it. And exactly as you said, vault.google.com takes you to the new interface and ediscovery.google.com takes you to the old one. So you'll be able to kind of work, I think, between the two to get your bearings and move things across and make sure that retention rules and matters and reports and all that are matching up as you expect.
Yeah, and I'm really glad to see some updates on there also, just because, as you mentioned, it's such an old kind of interface and the world and the speed at which the world works has moved on. And being able to bring some of the new retention rules in there, the new updates to chat and all of that is going to be much easier to manage and much easier to search in the new interface.
Yeah. And, we don't really have this on the agenda, but there's a few things, when we talk about Vault and the retention there, Google Voice is being included into Vault as well. So retention for that is coming if it hasn't come already. And you also have, for companies that need Google Vault, so that need that e-discovery and license and retention of data, you have the archive user license. So if you haven't heard about archive user licensing, that is the reduced cost license for your business or enterprise customers or enterprise users on your environment so that you can no longer, you don't have to pay the full, $18 for Business Plus or the 20 or 30 on enterprise. You can pay a reduced amount. And I believe the prices on that Business, it was $4 a user, and on enterprise archive user was $7. So substantial discounts there to keep those users around, keep their data in Vault. And if you haven't heard about that, talk to your Google rep or partner to kind of get access into the archive user licensing. So that's really useful to have. You know, you're talking about cost savings and reductions around light and frontline SKUs, but that's also another way to save money on Google is leveraging the archive user licensing.
Yeah, I'm curious how much that's going to change or if it's going to change at all as we move into the new SKUs. Personally, I've always just saved money by doing a full archive of that user after a month or two and repurposing the license, deleting them entirely, doing a full backup, deleting them entirely and giving that license to somebody else. But if it becomes, you know, pretty affordable, especially with the new SKUs and whatnot, then, you know, I might be interested in keeping some more people on as an archived user instead.
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, ease of use and simplicity. I mean, the simplest way to do it is to pay for the you know, archive user, just to have the user and the data there, easily accessible, not have to deal with, you know, the process of, you know, creating an export of the data and then saving it and retaining it and making sure that that data is somehow, you know, still accessible. You know, how do you maintain the resiliency on that data now that you're backing up? So where do you put that? That makes it really easy, archive user licensing. There's also the size of your organization and the amount of turnover and changes you have will impact that decision. So, you know, I work with big companies that are, you know, 10,000 people and they are dealing with, you know, a lot of people going, you know, out of the business every week, and having to do that, even in an automated, like in a scripted way, is problematic. It's like, well, just put the license on there and it's there. That's the simplest way to do it, manage it. So.
Yep. Call it a day and you're done.
Right. Yep. Pay for convenience.
You know, sometimes it's worth it. Absolutely. So our next topic, continuing back in time through the year, if you will, is secure LDAP to log into macOS with your Google credentials. This one was also early December, actually. And I'm really excited about it. I think this is awesome.
Yeah, it's something that actually when I was at Next last year, 2019 last year when it was still in person, I met up with some Googlers and, you know, we were talking about authentication. We were talking about the grab and go program, but it got into, you know, they were on the internal team that manages IT for Google. And I said, you know, how do you guys manage logins on Mac devices? You know, what do you guys do? Can you share that? Like, can you guys publish how you do that? And they said, no, we can't really talk about it. Like, you know, it's possible. It's definitely possible, but we can't talk about it. So now,
really?
So now they're finally talking about it. Here's the solution. Here's how Google's been doing it for a long time. And I believe that this is, you know, the way that Google's been doing it for quite some time is leveraging.
They're giving us the dog food.
Finally. Yes. Yes. So for those of you that don't know what that is, dog food is the way that, you know, Google refers to using new features and you know, internally prior to releasing it to the public, to customers. And then there's actually a pre-dog food. Do you know what comes before dog food, Jesse?
I don't. Is it fish food?
It is. Yes, it is fish food.
All right.
Yes.
I probably heard that at a Google event somewhere in the back of my head.
And is what it's referred to as fish food. Yeah. So that's like the very, like the early stages of a new feature within Google internally is fish food. Yep.
Is that fish with a PH or an F?
No. As far as I know, I think it's with like standard spelling with an F. It is do with like phishing, you know, security.
I was going for the band. All right.
Oh, band. Okay. No, I was thinking of like phishing, you know, security. Technology.
Always the security mindset. Yeah. There you go. Good place to be. Speaking of security, secure LDAP.
Yeah. So it's just really a fancy way for saying that the LDAP doesn't happen over a non-secure channel, which, you know, sometimes can be problematic for how a lot of times LDAP is implemented. So, you know, secure LDAP has to be done with Google through certificates. So you have to have, you know, a service or, you know, whatever you're connecting into that is handling the LDAP to be able to manage certificates, or you have to go through a secure LDAP kind of relay. So it can be a little bit complex to set up, maybe not that straightforward. Hopefully, you know, Google will be releasing some enhancements and improvements to that in the future in terms of, you know, making it similar to what you see on the Windows side with the Google Cloud Credential Provider. and you know, kind of the way that that directly integrates with Windows 10, that makes it really seamless and easy to manage. And I think that's coming. I think a lot of that is based on changes we're waiting for on the macOS side of things as well, to make that a little bit more easy to integrate with in terms of an API perspective and, you know, macOS used to be called DEP, now it's called Business Manager, and how that all kind of ties in from a zero-touch deployment perspective. So we'll see how that improves. And I know, separate to the Workspace Recap kind of format here, there's another group of Google admins that are going to be running a webinar that actually is going to be talking to Ravi Kumar, who is the product manager for Cloud Identity, and they're going to go into some details around using macOS Secure LDAP for macOS credential and logins, as well as reducing AD dependency for...
That'll be a live episode on YouTube, I think, right?
It'll be... I don't know if they'll be doing it on YouTube. It might definitely be... it's definitely going to be on Google Meet, and it's coming up January 19th. So there is the YouTube channel is available at workspaceadmins.org. And then, you know, we'll post some sign up forms for it. So you guys can find out where to get invited to that. If anyone's interested, we'll put that on a blog post, kind of link to it in the show notes here so people can join that. But, you know, I'm one of the people involved in Workspace Admin. So kind of a shameless plug there for myself. I'm working on that with a few other admins scattered around the globe, some in Canada, some in Germany, some in Sweden. So similar to kind of, you know, what we're doing here, you and I, Jesse, with updates, we're going to be going in depth on, you know, features and enhancements and how Google is being used, you know, for Google admins.
Well, I just demoed Parallels on Chrome OS live on Workspace Admins for the first time. I had never used it before. So if you want to see me get egg on my face, so to speak, and mess around for half an hour going, why doesn't this work? Oh, I forgot to flick that trigger. Head over to the channel and check it out. We did get it to work in the end. It's actually quite awesome.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, we did manage to get it working. Cool. It was fun, I think. Someone made a comment like you should plan this event a little bit better in terms of like having things ready. But like the whole point of it was the whole point of it though was to do it as if we had
to do it live.
Right, for the first time. The whole point was like, this is what you go through as an admin, right? This is your experience. You do it, you know, the very first time you don't know what to expect. And you
it's
don't
the raw
know
experience.
Yeah. So that was kind of the format we're going for. And I think we achieved it quite well from that perspective. Then we definitely take that box.
I had fun, but maybe skip the first half hour if you're going to watch it.
It is 2 hours long. So,
oh yeah, it was brutal. And we didn't even include that in our agenda here. Holy moly. Yeah. Windows, full Windows people running on Chrome OS.
Yes.
Not quite specific to Google Workspace, but if your org is heavily reliant on Google Workspace, you can get rid of Windows by not getting rid of Windows. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, managing Chrome OS devices, you know, above and beyond Windows or Macs is just so much easier from an admin perspective. It's
super fractions. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So
Google Groups, next topic.
Well, we actually have the enhanced security for Windows 10 devices. So we have that as well.
Oh, right. So we talked about Windows 10, but I forgot the enhanced security part. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is another update around, you know, basically being able to, you know, we're talking about logging into macOS devices with Google credentials. This is the Windows equivalent, as well as being able to manage settings on those Windows 10 devices. So not only can you log in with Google credentials, but you can also control how long the screen timeout is. You can control, you know, all the, you know, background images, all the basics, those kind of things. But you can, you can dive into pretty much any setting that is available for a Windows endpoint through the OMA URI policies that you can, you know, find over on the Microsoft documentation pages, and be able to control those Windows devices. So control Windows updates and how often those get pushed out to the device, control the BitLocker encryption settings and policies on there. So it's a really great way to reduce that reliance on Active Directory. You don't have to have AD anymore if you don't need it. And for a lot of organizations now, especially in kind of the mid-market SMBs, a lot of them are most, a lot of them are heavily Mac with some Windows, and you don't want an entire AD environment to manage, 10% of your fleet or 20% of your fleet. Most are on Mac probably. So this is a great way to have that control and bring it directly into Google. And that's available on
Most are on Mac. What kind of a budget do you think SMBs have? We're all on Windows. Well, I have 7 Macs in my fleet. That's so it.
The other
500 are Windows machines.
So every startup,
I'm still chipping away and trying to get rid of the startups. Okay, fine.
Well, yeah.
I'm still trying to get rid of the damn server 2000 that we have running.
Good luck.
Don't tell the hackers.
Yeah.
You don't know my IP.
No, most companies have been out for the last 10 plus years.
More modern companies do tend to go Mac because they break less. That being said, though, a lot of the SMBs are your mom and pop or family-owned businesses, such as the one I work for. And I'm in real estate, so I have it from both sides, the worst of both worlds. Family-owned businesses doesn't like to spend money, and real estate doesn't like to use technology. So I'm swimming upstream here the whole time. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at this now as a huge potential bonus for us, is instead of, because we also have a lot of remote offices, and especially now with everyone working remote, all these devices, we could be managing this through Google without having to be working on on-site domain servers or even going through Azure AD or even putting an Azure server in the cloud in Azure. I mean, putting an Active Directory server in Azure.
We can just do it through
Google.
Exactly. It's as simple as installing this, Google Cloud credential provider onto the device, as prepping it, and when a user logs in for the first time, they're getting this Google sign-in icon that says, log in with your Google credentials. They type in their username, password. They hopefully put in their security key, tap the button, log in. And that is how they get into the device. And it's pretty seamless. So it's also pretty seamless for existing fleets where, you push this out if you, somehow through your remote management tool, and then associate an existing user profile with their Google credentials, and you're good to go. That's it.
I'm very excited. And that's generally available. That's out.
Yeah, that's been out for a while now. That was GA April 27th. Yeah, so quite some time now.
What's the cost on that? Is that $50 like managing a Chrome OS device?
No, so that's going to be, that is part of the enterprise SKUs. So if you're on Workspace Enterprise Standard or Enterprise Plus, that is inclusive of those SKUs.
Look at that.
Yeah. And actually,
don't even have to pay for a domain. Wow. I'm totally blanking on everything tonight. A domain server.
No. Yeah. Now I haven't tested this yet, but I know in the early phases of testing that functionality, I was actually able to log into the Windows machine with my Gmail account. So I think you could probably still do that too. Ooh. Like if you wanted to, just manage your log into your Windows machine with your Google account on, your family, for example, you want to just, have them log with their Google accounts like they do on Chrome devices. You can install that. And I think if you just put, the allowed domains as gmail.com, that your Gmail users' accounts will be able to log into those Windows devices as well. So test it out and let us know if that works for you, because it did work for me at one point.
Amazing. Now we can talk about Google Groups. This is a big one.
Groups. So probably not as, some people didn't like the Groups interface at all, but I was going to say, I was kind of comparing it to the Vault interface, like how old and dated the Vault interface looked and how old the Groups interface looked. For me, the old Groups interface, it worked. Like I didn't mind it. It worked for me. But the new functionality and interface is a lot better. So that came out.
I hardly ever even used the old interface. Everybody got emails. I got emails through the groups. We set up the groups and forgot about them.
Yeah.
And this interface is designed to be used.
It definitely is. Yes. And I think, I definitely heard that from a lot of other Google admins is that they didn't even know that, you know, the users, even the users, you know, and the admins didn't even know about this Groups interface, the web interface. So groups.google.com takes you over to, you know, the way that you can manage, the emails as if it's a, you know, a shared inbox type of environment. So for anyone on the Microsoft or Exchange, you know, coming from there, when those shared inboxes and what that's like, this is where you can have, you know, more of like a collaborative inbox interface so that people can tag incoming emails now in terms of assigning labels to them. You can have more, you know, fine-grained controls over access into groups and what a user can do. So that's also available. The new interface is also available on mobile devices. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's starting to look, you know, more similar to the rest of the Google tools and services. So it's getting that, you know, similar layout design and functionality. And there are some new things around settings and functionality. So just keep an eye out on those when you go there. So, you know, it'll look a little different, be laid out a little bit differently. But for the most part,
yeah, collaborative inbox also seems really interesting. It takes the place of a very, very basic help desk. You can assign emails mm-hmm. to people.
Yeah. And that was available in the old interface. So if you didn't, you know, if you weren't using it before, it wasn't great. I know it wasn't great. It was there. It was technically there. It was available. But yeah, it wasn't that great. It's definitely a lot better, a lot improved. The support for the number of people accessing those collaborative inboxes also improved. I think, you know, there's also ways to do delegation into other accounts. If you do have dedicated accounts, that's also another update that not necessarily part of groups, but email account delegation access. I think they increased that from like 20 users being able to concurrently be in a shared inbox to like 1,000 now. So that's another, and again, another one of the 240 some updates that we saw this year that we didn't mention, but is kind of related to this groups interface and inbox delegation functionality.
Awesome. Shared drives. Let's break it down. Folder sharing. This is something that we were talking about beforehand. This has been in every request I've ever seen of anything having to do with Google Drive has covered this, the ability to share folders from a shared drive, formerly known as team drives.
And speaking of team drives and shared drives, that, Jesse, if you remember, that is when we first met in 20. I don't know if we actually met, but we were in the same space in California at the same time together.
You, me, and 398 other people.
2016, was it? Is that the year?
I think so.
Yeah. And that is when Diane Shalit from Google was talking about shared drives and its, you know, upcoming imminent release, which everyone was waiting for. And it's still, you know, even from that announcement, I think it took ages for it actually to come finally. But yeah, that's
it didn't cool. actually show up until at least the following year when they announced it at Google Next, I think.
I think it came 6 or 9 months after Next. It took ages after the Next announcement even.
Yeah. I remember I was in the field when they dropped the, I don't know if it was at Next or if it was a Google update that they, I think they did a special broadcast for it, something along those lines. And I remember in the field in Las Vegas working on a computer. We were a real estate company again. So we bought a property and we were flipping the office and I saw that notification come into my phone and I literally jumped up and down like, woohoo, it's finally here.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't even share. It was an all or nothing permission.
The update came April 5th, 2017. That is when Team Drives was generally available. So yeah, we were in California. I can't remember what part of the year 2016, but it was at least a year after that, I think.
California has no seasons. It's impossible to tell anything apart.
True.
I'm originally from the East Coast. Now I live in California and I can't tell. We have seasons. Yeah. It's fire. It's rains for about a week. There's an earthquake in there once in a while. And the rest of the year is 75 and sunny.
Yeah, it's not like Chicago where it's, you know, minus 40 in the morning or in the afternoon and then, you know, plus 40 the next day.
Yeah, New England. You have four seasons, okay?
In one day.
Well, sometimes in one day. Yes. But you can generally tell the time of year based on the relative season. Yeah. I'm in short sleeves going outside at 60 degrees and beautiful today. But anyway, we digress, which we're likely to do because we both are severe ADD, ADHD people. But yes, you can now share folders, individual folders, not the entire shared drive, just individual folders from the shared drive with anybody.
Yeah.
Outside your domain even.
Right. I don't like it. I don't like the feature, honestly. It annoys me. I like the way.
What don't you like about it?
So I like the way that shared drives worked before. It was, this is the shared drive and people that have access to it are at the top and that is it. Generally, you know, it's, if you need someone to access a file or, you know, files, they can be added to those files. That's fine. No problem. We can do that. And they don't have to have access to anything else. So now with sharing a folder within a shared drive, you know, you can assign that user to the folder. And of course they get, you know, access to anything below that folder that they need to. But from the user experience perspective now, I don't see that shared drive. I don't see where that, you know, shared drive, I don't see that shared drive at all. I see it in the shared with me section, right, of Google Drive. So I've got that. So that's the first thing from a user experience challenge and perspective is that I've got access to this folder now. It's called, you know, subfolder A, for example. And well, where is it? Like, is it in my list of shared drives? No. Is it in my list of My Drive folders? No, it's not there. It's in shared drives. And if I want to have it in my list of, you know, file structures and folder trees, I can create a shortcut. Now that gets me into another feature that came out this year, which also annoys me, is shortcuts and the inability now to multiple locate a single folder in multiple places. So I no longer can have a folder sitting in multiple folders. It can only be a shortcut now, which is really annoying because guess what? Shortcuts and the contents within a shortcut, if you're not part of that shared drive or not part of that main folder structure, the contents of those folders don't get discovered in your Google Drive searches. You cannot find that information when you do a drive search. If you're, you know, created a shortcut to something that you don't have, let's say root access to. So that's a really annoying thing.
Annoying. I'll grant you that last one, but I bet you they're going to fix that.
I doubt they will. I don't think anyone knows.
You don't think that they're going to open up search to be able to include
that.
They have to.
I don't know.
Let's hope your friends at Google and my friends at Google are listening to our Workspace Recap podcast. This is something they should get to work on. I agree with you. But I disagree with you on your previous statement because team drives, which then became shared drives, was the answer to a domain shared drive, a shared drive on the network, something that everybody in your company could access, but you didn't have to be on the domain. You didn't have to be in the building. You could do it from anywhere. It was part of your Google Drive. Yes, they made it in a separate area called shared drives or previously team drives. Fine. Yes, there are issues with it. And they started to correct those. And one of those ways to correct those issues is the ability to share things. Because if I'm putting all of my documents for a department, for example, or a team, to use their vernacular, into this drive, then the people on that team automatically get access to everything and it's owned by that team. So you avoid the issue of somebody leaving or who owns what file or it has, you know, what rights to what file, etc. But the problem that we had and the reason why so many of us fought and yelled at Google to put in the ability to share individual folders here is because you still need to be able to share that outside of that shared drive. Even within the same company and sometimes not in the same company, you want the benefits of the shared drive, but still the ability to share. So I definitely understand that side. And I understand, you know, how Google rolled this out. Could they have done it better? Sure. But, you know, Google, they roll things out and they iterate on them and then they make them better until they're perfect.
Well, let's hope they improve it then, because the way that it's implemented now, I don't like. But, you know, each their own. But you can. Yeah. The good thing is, though, is you can control access to that, right? So.
Yes.
That's only available to the managers of a shared drive. So if you have people on a shared drive that have, you know, content manager, commenter, viewer, they're not going to be able to share a folder. So at least they did that where it's only the managers that can do this. So that's a good thing from, you know, not making it available to anyone on the shared drive. So turn off, you know, make it only content managers, no managers, then you don't have a subfolder sharing and problem solved. Well, my problem is solved.
Your problem is solved. Yeah. No, I think this is still early on in the timeline of shared drives and what we're going to see here. And especially as you get into some of the updates that they're doing with Google Chat and the ability when you put it into Gmail, if you share a document in a room, for example, it will ask you if you want to share it with those people in the room. Those permissions lines are going to start to be blurred, and it's going to be more important than ever that Google is able to keep track of that and keep that really solid in a way that you can follow that trail and see where everything is and who has access to what, because it's a nightmare right now.
Yeah. I mean, you basically raised another challenge that, you know, I'm not a big fan of either is, yeah, when you put those files in a room that, you know, Google is prompting your users to, you know, give access to this entire room, creating this, you know, brand new email address on the back end that you have no idea. Where do you manage it? How do you manage the users to it? What room is it associated with? Who now has access to these files? And are you gonna have members that are external to the organization now part of this or not? And like my default,
I haven't tested that actually.
Yeah, I mean my default user behavior from like an admin and user perspective is that I just say, you know, do not share this with the group. It's like the permissions have already been set, you know, wherever the file is in Drive, and I don't want to mess with it. So I just say, you know, here's the link. If you can access it, you can access it. If you can't, you got to request access in this, right, you know, Google chat room, and whoever has the ownership of that file can then, you know, grant it or not.
And so yeah, when you share something in a room, it creates a separate undescript email.
Yeah.
Nondescript email, I think is the word there, that yes, is impossible to tell what it's for. It doesn't actually add the people's emails that are in the room.
As an admin, you don't have access to manage the users and see what users are part of that group email. No, it's really, really annoying. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, we'll have to play with it and test it out, and I'll show you what I mean. But yeah, when you put a file into a room and you say share with this room, then it creates this, you know, new Google group email essentially with a, you know, random string, and it is, you know, the reference, the user referenced are the members of that group. Now, you know, you know when you add a user to a room, and the person leaves, they get that notification saying, well, you've been invited to this room, so you can always rejoin whenever you want, right? Well, mm-hmm. Usually in a group perspective as an admin, when I remove someone from a group, they can't rejoin unless me as an admin add them back, right? So if I want someone out of a room, I can't actually get them out of that room and that group email anymore because they're part of that secure, that, you know, that new group. So it's just a, you know, a document security challenge that I don't like. Now as an overhead to kind of think about. So yeah, they got to come up with a better way to manage that.
Very interesting. Well, we talked about chat here. This brings us to our mm-hmm. penultimate topic, the new Gmail experience.
Right. So that is, you know, across both the web as well as iOS and Android. So the new Gmail interface is essentially bringing together, you know, which they, you know, it's been together already for a while, but it's just in a much, you know, in a more improved experience where they integrate Meet and chat and document editing now and calendar and now people in the sidebar. So it's really, you know, starting to bring together all of the core Google components into a single pane of glass for the end user so that they can be, you know, in their email, get to chat, schedule meetings, you know, look at who's in the organization, you know, pull up who's on the email thread and where they sit within the organization hierarchy, who their managers are, all that kind of stuff. That's all now possible in a single page with, you know, with gmail.com. And when you're on your phone, you also have that ability to move between email and chat and you know, scheduling meetings and joining meetings and looking at your rooms. So it's, you know, it's really tying it all together pretty seamlessly. And I know, Jesse, you said that there's some things that probably aren't as seamless as you would like. So there are some workarounds to it. You know, I think what you were saying was, you know, you have to, if you're in a chat with a person or in a room, you have to like back out of it and you're on an iOS device. I mean, that's your biggest problem right there. You you know, shouldn't be using iOS. But you know, you can break that out and like switch between the chat apps and go back into Gmail to search in your Gmail for something and reference it back in the chat. So yeah, just get it.
Yeah, well, the apps still exist for now, but for now is the operative words there. Who knows? Strategically, it looks like they're trying to get this into one Office app, to steal the word from Microsoft, you know, to be able to operate everything you need in this one app. But if you're going to do that, you damn well better have multi-screen, multitasking, you know, that whole workflow needs to be reviewed and refined and tweaked and beta test the hell out of it with the input from all of us, because there's a lot of people that are going to have some severe issues with this.
Yeah, I'm
specifically talking about the mobile apps here on iOS.
Yeah, on mobile apps, I mean, on iOS and Android, I don't think it'll ever be in a single app ever, because you have people that, you know, organizations, users that, you know, they don't have Gmail, for example, they don't have Calendar. Let's say they just have chat, for example, that's all they have, that's all they use. So you may not want to have a single app for everything.
That's weird. May as well get Slack.
It is. But you know, you might be scheduling your meetings or something. You probably still need separate apps for it. But I think what Google needs to do is the problem that they have right now is that they integrate Hangouts, for example, as part of the core Android platform, and they haven't decoupled that yet as part of the, you know, services that ship with an Android device. So you have Hangouts and chat, and they kind of clash from an enterprise perspective, having both, and you really only need one or the other, you know. So hopefully they'll improve that situation a little bit. Because, that's the thing with Google is that they have been, you know, that consumer and enterprise overlap can sometimes, as great as it is, there's sometimes things that are, you know, challenging from an app access perspective when you're trying to blend consumer functionality and enterprise functionality and create one application for both sets of customers.
Yeah, and to get back to what we were saying before about Javier Soltero and his ideas coming over from Microsoft to kind of reinvent what's happening at Google Workspace, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more stuff like this where, yes, it's going to be unified, but there's going to be this kind of, I don't know if rift is the right word, but separation between business and consumer, whereas before they tried to keep it on the same platform. I honestly don't know, you know, it's too early to tell at this point. But you know, I think what you're saying is right, that they're probably going to hang on to the other apps for a while, and that I probably should just start using chat in the chat app. Although I don't know, can you use Rooms in the Google Chat app?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to go play with that. play with it some iOS. More. Go back to the old way to do it. Yeah.
Get on my iOS.
But I also wish that Gmail in the browser or on the desktop would no longer be in the browser. If it's going to be a workspace, make it an app. Even if it's a PWA, do what they did for chat. A PWA, for those who don't know, progressive web app, that's Google's answer to all everything these days, basically, is to make your website a actual application that can start with Windows and interact with Windows on a native level, things like that. That's what they're doing with Google Chat and some other things as well. And RingCentral has it for their main app, and a whole bunch of other companies are doing it. It's not just Google. In fact, I think I just saw that Microsoft today announced or leaked, somebody leaked the new Outlook web experience is going to be a PWA of some sort. So, you know, the use of that is spreading. But to my point, it's hard enough to find anything among the 7,000 tabs I have open. It should be a separate application on my taskbar to be able to open my workspace.
Well, Jesse, I've got the solution for you.
Really?
You can have it now if you want to function exactly like that, to have it open on startup, to essentially function like a PWA without being a PWA. So go to Chrome, open up gmail.com, head over to three dots in the top right, go to more tools and create a shortcut. And you create a shortcut to the Gmail application, and it now becomes an app in your taskbar, in your dock, that you can pin, you know, to be always accessible there and to open on login as well. And there you go, and turn on your Gmail offline access. And essentially, there you go. You have Gmail as an app now. it's available.
It's funny. I used to use that for chat before they made it a PWA. I totally forgot about that trick.
Yeah.
But how do you, isn't it a registry hack or something that you have to do in order to get it start up with startup?
I don't know much on Windows. No, I from what Google I recall, I did do this for someone in the past where I tested out, this was the chat. Now this was specifically the chat PWA. So I don't know if the shortcuts work the same way on Windows. I'm not a Windows person really, so I don't know too much about it, but, yeah, test it out. It might be possible on Windows to do that. I know on Mac it is with the shortcuts and right clicking the icon, going to options and saying open a login. That definitely works with shortcuts as well as PWAs.
Sounds like a future blog post on workspacerecap.com.
Yeah.
All right. Our last topic. This is an interesting one. Security is top of mind for basically everybody these days. Mm-hmm. You can now use your phones, both Android and iOS, as I understand it, as security keys as part of the Advanced Protection Program. Now, who can be a part of the Advanced Protection Program?
Anyone. So this is really just a setting for an admin to say, allow my users to enroll in the Advanced Protection Program. And it's really easy, it's straightforward for a user to do it. You can't enroll people, individual users, on their behalf, but the user has the ability to enable advanced protection on their account. And essentially what it is it means that the user is only going to be using security keys for their two-step verification, multi-factor authentication, two-step verification, however you want to, coin that term. Everyone uses a little different.
2VA.
Yeah. 2SV, 2FA, MFA, whatever you want to call it. And then it does some other things too. So it removes some of the API access to things, less secure applications. It does a few other things with third-party applications and access into that user's account that further secures that that data within your organization. So security keys in general, though, they are the only way that have the only two-step verification method that is phishing resistant. And what does that mean? So that means that if your account is secure with two-step verification in any other means other than security keys, there is this possibility that a malicious website can gain access to that user's account by them entering in their username, password, and two-step verification code. And the way that they do that is by essentially proxying the official legitimate Google login page and showing that to the user. And then the user enters in their two-step verification code or they get a push notification on their device. So this is different than push notifications. This is not the same thing as push notification, which is what has been around for a while. All those methods are essentially phishable. So the malicious site is actually saying, sending over to Google and, that this is their code. They're now authenticated and grabbing that token for the user and then, locking that user out essentially. So what security keys allow you to do or what that prevents is it essentially is getting the origin of where that request is coming from. It's saying, this request is coming from Google and this is now a physical, thing that you have either on you, which is the phone, or in this device. And it is verifying that the request is coming from the Google origin. So if this malicious site is actually getting that token, that, security key, and then passing it on to Google, that Google now sees that this is not coming from the user directly. So the origin essentially has been hacked and it doesn't then work. So that's why security keys are phishing resistant. They're the only methods that you can actually implement to be phishing resistant security keys. So that's either YubiKeys, Titan keys, or your Android or iOS phone as a security key. So for iOS users, that means getting the security application, which kind of is another application from Google that functions as a security perspective, security key functionality. And then for Android users, it's kind of built into the platform. And this is what the DNC actually, so for, the kind of the new president's environment is running on Google Workspace, and they implemented advanced protection and security keys and enforced that for all of their users on that environment. And if you can implement security keys, that is the way to go.
Yeah, and that's huge, especially in an environment such as the DNC. I can't imagine very many other organizations that are more at risk of being under attack than them at this point in time. Microsoft maybe being one of them. And as the SolarWinds hack showed us, even they're not impervious to being exposed or accessed. And, it's kind of, as much as Google Meet and video conferencing or the year of Zoom, as 2020 has been called by some, security really needs to remain front of mind, needs to be part of the conversation. And Google making it easy to do and available for everybody like this is really phenomenal in terms of just keeping your account safe and knowing that you have that option to be able to say, okay, I know this is that person that's logging in because they have this device and they are able to authenticate as them. And that's the ultimate in kind of the, I think it's the zero trust model, right? Where it's, don't trust the device that they're on, trust the person. And even then, don't trust them all that much.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone, wants to know more about security keys and how that works with Google and in general, go out and Google Christian Brand. So Christian with two A's. Brand, B-R-A-N-D. He's a product manager for identity over at Google. And you'll find a bunch of YouTube videos where he was, live at Next 1 year. He also did a talk at the LA OWASP. What is that?
OWASP.
OWASP. OWASP, that is. Yeah, it's the bees, right? The wasps, right? OWASP.
Yep.
OWASP, LA OWASP talk. Around Google security and security keys. I think that was one of the most recent talks he did. I think he did it in 2020, so pretty recent. He's done them over the years. But he talks, it's a great talk around security keys and how they work and why security keys are, really needed, required. You were talking about, companies being targeted. I mean, I think every company is targeted nowadays. I mean, this is a common...
It's a service. You can buy this. You can buy hacking as a service as if you would buy, Google as a service.
Yeah.
It's just automated. It's a big business at this point. It's billions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Everybody is being targeted.
Yeah.
Maybe some more than others, of course, sure. But everybody is being targeted.
Yeah.
What's that famous line? Either you already have been hacked and don't know it yet, or what's the other one? Or you're about to be, something like that?
No.
You've been hacked or you've been hacked and you don't know it yet. That's it.
Exactly, yeah.
I screwed the punchline. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, security is important, people. Any last thoughts, Steve?
I think that's been a pretty good episode. I mean, on time here, I think we've done pretty well for ourselves. We didn't really
know how long this would take. I think we're over time.
Just at time. I think it's just about an hour, which is pretty good.
Yeah, so, a little bit over an hour, I think. Well, this is a somewhat of an uncharacteristic episode. This is kind of like a marathon episode because we went over the whole year here. There was obviously only the top 10, but in most weeks, we're not going to have 10 releases. We'll have 7. So it should be a little bit shorter. And usually at this point in the show, we would be answering your questions. So send us your questions. We definitely want to hear from you. We want to see how we can help the community further. Give us your thoughts, your questions, either on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Workspace Recap. And I am Mr. J. Nolan, N-O-W-L-I-N. And Steve is L-A-R-S-E-N 161.
That's it.
All right, I got it. Yeah. And of course, WorkspaceRecap.com is our website. We have a contact us form on there. We're going to be doing a recap of the recap episodes on the website, as well as coming soon some blog posts about some of the things that we talk about, maybe expanding on these topics, maybe some guest posts. We don't have a crystal ball. We don't know everything that you want to hear. So dear listeners, please let us know. We're open to all ideas. There's no such thing as a dumb idea, they say, right?
Yeah, it'd be good to see what everyone thought was, the kind of their, let's say, top one or two updates that came this year that we didn't talk about that you may want us to talk about in, upcoming episodes. So that'd be a good way to kind of add in some new topics for our upcoming podcasts would be, what updates did you find most useful for your organization, which were most impactful, and which ones, did we not cover? So it'd be interesting to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Totally. Great point. Any last thoughts, Steve? Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I've had a really good time doing this. I think it'll be getting a little bit easier and easier each week as I do this. And you've been doing these podcasts for a while over at TabGeeks.
Two years now.
Yeah. So this is just the start for me. So getting my feet wet, trying to get familiar with the whole format and, talking for this long. We'll see how it goes.
It's okay. We threw you in the deep end and you'll learn how to swim.
Yeah.
We'll get you more comfortable behind the mic. Now you got all that fancy microphone equipment.
I can't even swim that well. That's the other thing too. So hopefully I can.
Oh no.
Podcast better than I can swim.
There you go. All right, let's wrap this up. I'm going to bed. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Have a good night or good day or whatever it is, wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time on Workspace Recap.